Welcome to episode 5 of the D1 Softball Podcast. Tara Henry here, joined by Ryan and Potky. Ree, how are you doing this week?
Doing okay. How are you doing?
I'm good. There's been a lot that's going on this past week. Just very sad that AU Pro Sports is over. It was the last week. Had a lot of softball every single weekend. You know, we get 3 games a weekend. It was two games a day, and just going to be missing softball. We're not going to have it until the spring here. Well, hopefully we'll have it into spring here. But other than that, really good.
Yeah. Other than, there's high school going on. So if you're in a state that has the high school going on, you can go out to your local, well, I don't know, like stand like 20 million feet away from the field and watch from the hill. But there is high school going on, but yeah, it is kind of bittersweet, right? Like it was I consider that a huge success what they did. And the first and foremost, just the attention it got, and then they did it safely and held, and no one got sick and no one was, that's important in this age. But yeah, it's kind of a thud. And then you get down and like all the fun stuff that took place. We're taping this on a Wednesday, so you can imagine whatever took place Tuesday. Now, I was watching WNBA because I wanted some positivity in my life. So that'll just lead you to believe right there. And so that was women's sports. That was good. But we had some sad news Tuesday with a lot of other things with softball too. We had our second Division I program get cut, which was LaSalle University in Philadelphia. Wright State got cut in June. That was the first. To be honest, softball has come out very good because there's been tons of cuts. And it's sad when programs get cut, but compared to some other sports, softball has kind of stayed above the fray. But sadly, yesterday, LaSalle cut. They were one of 7 programs cut, which also included baseball. LaSalle said they wanted to cut down from 25 to 18 teams because you can kind of understand that. I mean, that's a lot, 25. We saw Stanford make some cuts similar earlier because it's just a lot to be able to afford. They cited financial, which is everyone right now is kind of in the same boat. And they said it was accelerated by the coronavirus pandemic. So it sounds like there might've been some cuts possibly coming anyways, but given the pandemic and all the money losses, not just with athletics, but through admissions, they kind of made the strategic decision to just kind of focus on the programs that they felt were the healthiest. Still tremendously sad for those players, the coaches. They had 2 transfers that just had joined the team, and they hadn't had a winning season since 1997. They were 0-10 last season before it got cut short. So you can kind of see why it might have been in the firing line to get cut. That's not really the only reason. We would hope that the mission of college sports is beyond that. But when it comes down to, some really tough decisions these administrators have to make, and they don't even have, football. So it's not like you can blame, I guess the positive is they're going to get to play this season if there is a season. They get at least through this end of this year. And all the athletes' athletic aid will be honored if they wish to stay at the school, which is, we'd hope. So they've got a lot of young players on the team, a lot of freshmen and sophomores. So you're that transfer portal might be lighting up with a few LaSalle players you're going to update to her pretty soon. But yeah, it's, I hate to see athletic opportunities be taken away at college level. Realistically, I understand some of the reasons why. But it's sad whenever we lose a program and all the sports, the diving, the gymnastics, tennis, everyone. And I don't think this is going to be the end. I think we're going to see more, whether there's softball included. We don't know, but you can't be surprised by it if there is.
Yeah, it's just like you said, I think actually softball, we skated by a bit with just only our second program. So hopefully this isn't a trend, but unfortunately, I think as budgeting starts to settle in, we might see a few more, but wishing the best to all those LaSalle players. And like you said, hopefully they can find a new home and a new spot to play. And if not, you can still finish their schooling there, which is nice to hear. So moving on, let's talk a little bit about this AU Pro Sports League. Kat Osterman, at the age of 37, won the entire league with the most points. She was just impressive all season long. And it was interesting, she wasn't actually going to be playing in the league. And, you know, Gwen had reached out to her and said, hey, you know, Gwen was on the panel or the advisory board for AU sports, Gwen Svetkus, former Oregon Duck, and reached out to Kat to come and play in the league. And eventually the two of them became kind of the battery that we saw throughout the entire summer. And it was just impressive to see them grow as a pair. Just made Kat feel so comfortable back there. It made me, or reminded me of Kat throwing to Megan Willis back in the day at Texas and with UTRIP. And just was fun to watch them. And Erica Piancastelli, who's on the Italian national team, she put up a heck of a performance. I mean, she's got probably one of the sweetest swings I've seen in softball in a very long time. She's got that high leg kick and can drive that down ball. So she can hit that drop ball and she can hit it out. So she was a big part of it. Victoria Hayward, Team Canada. She was another one on there that placed. And then I believe, who was the last one that placed?
Jesse Warren was second.
It was Jesse Warren.
Florida State double play star, viral sensation, Jesse Warren. And if you don't know about Jesse Warren double play, that's a little tease. You guys on our website next week, because we got a really, really fun thing with that was done before she entered the Shield. Yeah, she was second place. She, a distant second to Kat Osterman, who could have probably sat out like the last seven games and like still won the title. It was her win point. She had 1380 and Jesse had 1270. So, yeah, those were the top four. Kat got a gold medal, which, you know, maybe is a, you know, she didn't get a gold that she wanted in Tokyo, but got a gold here. And then maybe she'll get another gold in Tokyo. So yeah, that was Jesse Warren, third baseman extraordinaire, and not a bad hitter either. So pretty. Yeah, man, it was just fun to see some of those players show off like the skills that we came to appreciate in college. And that, you know, I think the best thing is that it just shows that there's no win. Like, we had this like window on women athletes, like where they, you know, like, I think there was a ceiling that had been arbitrarily because there was no opportunity. And now we're seeing that some of these women don't even reach their peak till like their late 20s. You know, you saw it maybe with marathon runners only for a while, you know, because that was the only sport where you could, in tennis a little bit, but even tennis was such young girls. But the cool thing about women's sports now is we're seeing that there is so much of a higher level they can reach late into their, you know, late by athletic standards. So that's been really cool to see, just the fact that they can improve and their mental and physical can mesh to like their perfect, you know, part. And I think those girls, and as Kat shows, you can even go way over that too. The best part, it's coming back for 2021. I mean, it's already scheduled for 2021 back in Rosemont. So this is going to be second. There'll be a second one, which is for women's sports. That's always a great thing to know that it's going to come back. So that will be back. They announced that in the same place, and hopefully there'll be a non-pandemic and fans could have attended, but they played it safe. But hopefully we can get packed houses next time down in Rosemont.
Yeah, that would be great to see. And I think they will be able to sell some tickets just from, you know, watching it this summer. And also we had Haley McClinney. She was defensive player of the year.
For sure. No brainer there, right?
No brainer. I mean, watching her play center field and her make these ridiculously difficult catches look so easy. You know, so hats off to Haley out there, the former Bama stud. Anything else with AU Pro Sports? Anything else that you noticed that you liked or didn't like? Or
no, I loved it. I saw someone quoted saying this is going to be the future. I kind of don't want that to be the case. I want it to be a good compliment. I want a full season pro league the real way. I want it like at Major League Baseball. This is great. I love this. I mean, it's really cool. It's a great showcase. I love the, you know, the format for the way they do it in just that short span is great, but I really don't want it to be the future. I want it to be a compliment to the future. I really do feel like we still deserve as a sport. You know, I know we have one, but I really feel like we need a bigger, better product. That's a lot more of the American players too. Only, you know, just that gives salaries that are commiserable to like making a living, you know, where maybe you can coach on the side, but it's more like, so that's my only thing is this is great. I love it, but I don't want this to be just what we have with pro softball in America. I want there to be something that resembles the sport we see at college, but on the pro level where women can make a living. And I'm hopeful that this is good, that this shows that there's enough athletes to do it. Maybe, you know, this is a good springboard and a good complement to that.
Yeah. And I think the viewership in itself, I mean, we've got, you know, when we have the Women's College World Series in OKC on ESPN, the viewership has gone up exponentially. And hopefully with more exposure, we'll be able to allow an actual pro league, like you said, that's just not Team Canada. It's just not team, you know, the Chinese national team or the Aussies, you know, that we actually have homegrown players and internationals that come and play in an actual league. And it would just be great for our athletes to have that opportunity.
For sure. Yeah.
And be able to play past 22 and yes, be able to make a living. So we'll see. We'll see if this pro sports, this AU Pro Sports League, has been the springboard to an actual pro league. With that said, we are going to go into our interview of the week. Ree, who do we got this week on our interview?
Oh, yeah, we got a really, really good one. We got Clemson redshirt senior Cammy Pereira. She's just a pleasure. I mean, I really talk about, you know, the ideal of a student athlete, just really, really, really fun interview and just a great player. And got a lot of unique things about her that you'll learn. And I really enjoyed this one. Love talking to her and hope we can have her on more as we go. But I think the listeners will really enjoy listening to Cammy.
All right. With that said, here we go. Ree, take it away.
All right. Well, we're really happy to welcome Clemson redshirt senior Cammy Pereira. She was the leadoff hitter last season and starting second baseman, the inaugural season for Clemson softball, which was unfortunately cut short like everyone else. I kind of feel like, I think I was talking to your coach, I think it was kind of like a soft opening of a restaurant, like everyone got a really good taste and was very excited. And then all of a sudden, you know, COVID hit and everything shut down. Cammy led the team with 94 bats. You were second with 21 runs scored. You had transferred to Clemson from Furman, where you were a first team all conference selection there. And obviously sounds like you joined Clemson to kind of get, you know, to play at a higher level and also to be part of something very, very special on the field. So I guess, you know, knowing what we know and that it wasn't in the exact way you probably envisioned it, how was that first season of, you know, being, you know, a history-making team at Clemson?
Yeah, first, thank you for having me. It's so good to still have some media coverage with our team, even though it's now our second year. We're all kind of wondering what it's going to look like this year as far as the hype and all, and if our fans are awesome. So it'll still, I'm sure, be kept up even through COVID. But yeah, the first year was absolutely incredible. It was everything and more I think any of us could have asked for. We were going off so strong. We went out strong, and I think we would have kept on escalating. So we're obviously really sad to have seen that kind of come to a halt, but I don't think we're going to start off slowly this year. So I think we'll come out just as hot as we did last year. So I'm excited to see with all of our new girls how we add to the program this year.
Yeah, being that you guys had, it was such a special season because it was the first ever in the history of the school and everyone was really hyped and you were selling out games. Your team, when that, you know, when it finally was like, okay, we're cutting short, like you get like a few games in the ACC and then it's done. What was it harder for you? I mean, it was hard for everyone, but what was the feeling with your team? Was it harder, do you think, or how did it impact you guys?
I think with every team, it was definitely hard. Everybody was going through the same thing, just slightly different experiences. But especially our team had a unique experience, of course, because this was our first season. There was so much hype behind it. And I think it would have been a big finish for us. And we all talk about how we're disappointed that we didn't get to see how long our season extended. I think we were pushing really hard for a regional appearance, and that would have been really cool for a lot of us. I know for me, who I never really saw that, never expected that in my college career. So kind of to come so close to that and just kind of think what if was really hard for our team. Of course, that was hard for every team, but that would have been a big move for a first year program. I think a lot of teams that just start their program, it takes a while to develop, but we really did just start off super strong. So that was hard to see it shut down so soon and just wonder what if, but our team, we only lost one from last year. So we're pretty much the same team and then added some awesome freshmen and transfer. So I think we're going to be the same team and come back stronger.
Yeah. And, you know, being that it was, there was such, you know, like you said, immediate attention, pomp and circumstance, rightfully so, in a beautiful stadium you guys debuted, which is awesome, that I had hoped to come see, but obviously that got kind of cut short. It looked great. Right. I could see. What propelled you to decide that you wanted to make the move and be a part of that and go to Clemson? Because I know you were at Furman and that's close by, but what was kind of the impetus for you to come over and be a part of something like that where you're in, you know, you're down the history books as being the first?
Yeah. I mean, just like you said, it's making history. I think that was kind of all of our decision to come to Clemson. And when you talk to Coach Rittman and you hear his dreams and you hear his passion, and I've said this a million times, but it's still my favorite quote. Just if you can get, we have a coach that convinced now 26 girls to commit to a pile of dirt, basically. And we literally just stood on a blank field on my visit. And he just said, this is where this is going to be. And this is our vision. This is our dream. And he really painted that picture super clear. And just his leadership skills, I think, was something that really drove me towards that, as well as the other coaching staff. And just seeing that culture and the opportunity to help build a new culture was really special to me. So I think that was one of my biggest deciding factors in choosing Clemson specifically. And I just saw that as a big opportunity to just have some change and have some fun change and make some more memories in my softball career.
You guys got back on the field last week for the first time. Classes are starting for everything's kind of, you know, is in the new normal, quote unquote.
Yeah.
A little bit later than it probably would have started being, you know, with all the protocols and things in place and providing for safety. What have you guys been doing? What has it been like to be back, you know, on the field around your teammates doing, you know, what you love to do most, which is playing softball and practicing for that?
Yeah, we're super thankful to be one of the programs that's able to be out practicing. And we were able to start sooner than I think some of the other teams were at other programs, just because of how awesome Clemson has been with our testing protocols, with our masking procedures, the cleaning procedures in the weight rooms. I think Clemson has done an amazing job of making the expectation clear for student athletes as to what it looks like when you're on the field, what it looks like when you're in the facilities. We get tested pretty frequently, mostly like half of our team gets tested once a week, and we wear masks throughout all of practice, all of weights, any team, anything. It's hard to have team gatherings right now. So that's pretty hard, just trying to incorporate our freshmen in and make them feel a part of the team. So we have to do a lot of that on Zoom and just try to do the best we can as upperclassmen to really incorporate them in. And other than that, we do every day when we enter our facilities for practice, we do a screening as well as our staff. And we get little wristbands that say we've been screened for our temperature. And that way that allows us to go into the weight room or go into our facility and say like, hey, I've been checked for the day and I'm good. And I think our team, as well as our athletic training staff and coaches, have done a great job of enforcing that. And like I said, setting the expectation. So I think seeing some of the big Power Five schools like this set the standard helps a lot of people see like this thing is serious. We're all taking it seriously. If we're wearing masks while we're practicing, while we're running conditioning tests, then they can be worn while you're in the grocery store.
Exactly.
So yes.
What did you, you know, during, you know, it wasn't a normal summer by any standards, you couldn't be, but what did you do during the summer, whether it be, you know, softball wise or just personally wise, what was kind of your quote unquote off season like?
I spent a lot of time with my family, which I was really thankful for. I know a lot of the younger girls, like as you start to go to college, I remember like missing my family a lot. And I think I was kind of getting back to that in season. And I remember saying like a week before everything happened, like, man, I miss my family. Like, I really want to spend some more time with my parents and my siblings and whatever. Well, I got what I asked for. but no, it was really good to spend a lot of time with my family. But I also was in the process of studying for the MCAT for medical school. So that was kind of one positive of it all, was it gave me a lot more time than I would have had to study. So my test was in June, and I ended up getting all day, every day to study up until that. So that was really helpful. And then once I finished my test in June, I had to work on applications and had a lot of time, had ample time to do that throughout the summer as well. So I was really thankful for that extra time to do that. As well as I got really into yoga this summer, which was something that was really different for me. My sister and I have always grown up trying new things and trying to beat each other at different things. And she used to be a gymnast. So she was like, of course, way better at it. And I saw it as like a challenge, like, okay, I'm not going to let her be better at this than me. So I got really into that too. And just spent a lot of time cooking with my family, hitting occasionally. And it just was really fun to hit again with my dad at home off a tee. And I got a little nostalgic sometimes thinking about like, okay, is this going to be the last time like my dad puts balls on a tee for me? Or is this the last time I'm going to like throw and joke around with my siblings or something? So it really was fun. I think it was a blessing in disguise to kind of have some extra time. I know everybody kind of has some different opinions on quarantine. But I had a pretty good time spending some extra time with my family and just kind of getting into some things that I wouldn't otherwise do, as a student athlete.
Yeah. I think that perspective is great. I mean, I think you can sit there and be like, oh, this stinks. Or you can take the opposite view and be like, what can I do that I wasn't able to do before? And just appreciate that. And that, I think that's kind of the tack that people want to take and try to take, you know, just like, okay, well, like I can't do this stuff normally. And now I can savor it, time with family, you know? And that that's that next level with studying for those MCATs. I was actually going to ask you, that was my next question, is kind of your future beyond the field. Sounds like maybe medical school's in your future. Now you were a psych major. Is that correct?
I started out.
What do you want to do? And how was your studying at school leading you to that?
Yeah. So I started out at Furman doing biology and took some neuroscience courses as well. So whenever I transferred over, the best way to kind of transfer over a lot of my credits and still kind of save up all my, be able to still take classes that were within my interest, was to switch over to psychology, which I was really excited about because I had already pretty much hit all my prereqs for med school. And I felt like just being able to have a different approach going into medical school, doing psychology, doing more of a less traditional major for pre-med students would give me a little bit of an edge, and also just give me a different perspective. So that was really fun to dive into something a little bit different at Clemson. And I've really enjoyed that program as well. I hope to kind of continue that psychology aspect. I want to go into, it's called reproductive endocrinology. So fertility and infertility treatments. I think that's like a really neat way to incorporate the biology and psychology aspect. So I think that's something that I would love to go into, but of course that's 4 to 5 years down the road and there can be a lot of change from here to there. But, right now I'm just hoping to get into somewhere and go from there.
As a psychology major who's a sports writer, I can tell you, you don't always have to, you know, paths veer very quickly. But I loved it. I love being a psychology major, and it was intriguing. And if you're not using your mind in every part of your life or any job, then you're just a hermit because you need to interact. So I think it's, you know, no matter what. And that's a great aspect of it, because especially what you right now want to do, I mean, a lot of those families are dealing with a lot of emotions and a lot of mental anxiety. And so I think having those two dual back, that would be just ideal for that, you know, just to kind of help them through that and in all aspects of them as a human. You've given me a lot, like, I mean, the yoga, but is there something else we may not know about you, you know, just beyond you as a player, something of interest or anything that, in your background that would be, something people may not know just by knowing you as the player?
Let's see. I guess my common fun fact I like to throw out there is I actually was a cheerleader longer than I played softball. So all my siblings, I have 3 siblings. And my brother was actually like the best of all of us at cheerleading. And he took it the furthest. But I think if I had not started playing softball, I probably would have ended up trying to like cheer in college or something. But I stopped playing, or I stopped cheerleading around 13, 14 and started, picked up softball from there. So I actually have not played softball that long, which I think is like kind of into my advantage, because some of my friends, you know, they get to this age and they're burnt out and they're tired of it. And they're just playing kind of to play and to have their school paid for, you know? But I think that's me, especially being a fifth year, and having a sixth year, potentially next year. I think that's something that's been really important to me, was just kind of still loving the game and still being able to play it like I started out. 'Cause it's only, well, I guess I'm a little older now, but I've played for 10 years, 8 years. So that's a lot shorter. I don't really have the cute like T-ball pictures that everybody else has. I'm like in a skirt and a lot of makeup and curly hair and doing splits and being thrown in the air. So sometimes I miss out on that when people have the cute little like baby T-ball pictures, but yeah.
Yeah, wow, that's the rare cheerleading softball combo. I actually, you're the second one this week that I've talked to that was a cheerleader that is now, which, like I said, that happens like once every 5 years, and now I've got two in like the span of 2 days. But when people out there, I think sometimes the image of just on the sidelines of football games, you're talking about the high competitive, really athletic, you know, cheer competition.
Yes.
And that's intense, man. I'm sorry. Like, I gained a whole new respect. At first, I was kind of one of those that's like, oh, cheerleader. Like, what? I went to one of those because I wrote a story on a girl that was like an intense. She was on a tumble. She ended up going to college for tumbling and acrobatics. But I was like, whoa, this is not cheerleading. This is like basically gymnastics, like with cheer incorporated.
Yeah, it's a crazy world. It's a crazy sport, but definitely underappreciated until people understand what it actually is and how much hard work it takes. So
I know, and underrated, scary. It's one of the most like dangerous.
Yes, it is dangerous.
There's so many injuries through it, like concussions and broken bones. So you probably got some toughness there with that. Just having
there.
Well, this has been great. I don't want to keep you. I know you probably got to go study, but the last thing I always kind of like to end it with something different, but this week I kind of want a positivity shout out, maybe anyone in your life that is really meaningful, helpful, someone that you just feel like you want to give like a little positivity to today. Is there anyone that you, it doesn't matter what it entails, family, friends, teammates, anything, kind of a shout out just for positive so we can end on a good note.
Yeah. I would probably say have to walk away because I'm at her house right now, but I would probably shout out, my newest teammate, Casey Bigham. She's been awesome. Just me and her, we've played the same position our whole college career. And I think, we have one of the best competitive relationships. We've always pushed each other. And I think especially this year, she's making me a better player, like she's done our whole college career. And we just have such a positive competitive relationship. So I think just being able to compete with somebody that is of such high character and just a high quality person, I'm glad to still be her teammate. And she's an awesome person. Like, you just can't, you can't argue with it. So I love to have that healthy competition, and I'm glad to finish off my last year and her finish off her last year with us together. So shout out to her because she's a great person and she's pretty smart too, hitting the books right now too. So.
Well, now she'll have to, she'll get a surprise that you walked out. She'll listen to the podcast. So that's good. I'm really excited about that. Well, that's awesome. I really appreciate it. We'll definitely try to catch up. I'm hoping that, you know, fingers crossed, everything goes and this season can go as smoothly as possible. We all know that, you know, I think even your coach said he's just blessed to be out in the field and take it, you know, by hour. So once the season does hopefully start, we'll try to catch back up with you. We'll definitely be following everything you do. And we really appreciate you taking some time out of your busy day. You know, the med student path is in student athletes on an easy one. So thanks for making some time, Cammie.
Yeah, thank you, Rhiannon, for having me and continuing to cover our awesome program.
All right, have a great day.
Thanks, you too. Bye-bye.
All right. Great interview with Cammie. She is, I mean, gosh, she's so dynamic. She's got a lot she wants to do. She's a psych major. She's pre-med. I mean, gosh, what a pleasure to speak to her.
It's amazing. I love, those are my favorite types of interviews when you get the well-rounded players that, you know, just a really great personality. Very, like you said, just has so many aspirations beyond the field that are great. Perspective and fun too. I mean, I loved it. I loved that she kind of snuck out to give her, you know, roommate some props there as the positivity. So yeah, hopefully we can have her on and more Clemson players on as we get into quote unquote the real normal season, we hope. But yeah, I love talking to her.
Yeah, it was great. So our final segment of the day, we're just almost finished up with our top 50 programs in the last decade. We released Arizona at number 10, Tennessee was number 9. We've got LSU at number 8 and Oregon at number 7, Washington at number 6. And then our top 5, we're going to release it next week. We've got an ACC team, a couple SEC teams, and then Big 12 and a Pac-12. So we'll see who takes home that coveted number one spot. Who do you think on this top five? What do you think the fans are going to say about this top five, Ree?
Oh, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be fun to see all the fight over who's the top five. You know, we've already had people completely like misread, like it's a decade for all time. Like, you know, they think all time it's been, I mean, that's kind of confusing. I get it, but it is just the past decade. We have to always stress that decade. So there's been some bumps for some programs, but yeah, I don't think people will be shocked at the names they see, maybe the order a little bit, but it's fun. And we got some accompanying stories that go with those that are really interesting. Some stuff that people may never have known about with some of these programs that took place in certain years in the decade. So I'd really, really encourage people to subscribe, first of all, because some of these stories you're not gonna be able to get unless you subscribe to our website. And that's going to be the case for a lot of things. We've got some really good insider content that you're going to want to subscribe to. I mean, obviously I work, you know, here, but like I would have subscribed right away just to read some of this stuff. And because it's just good stuff. It's stuff that you're not going to get anywhere else. So I'd encourage people to do that right now so you can make sure it's all available for when these things drop, because you're going to want to see it.
Yeah. And we've got our fall reports coming up. So Ree and I are talking to the head coaches all across the country. And we're going to have a whole slew of fall reports for the big conferences. We've got some mid-majors mixed in and a few programs that will be able to get what's going on. We're going to check the pulse of what's happening this fall, go through COVID procedures. We'll do an overview of the previous season. And then we'll really get into the nitty gritty of what they expect coming into the 2021 season. So make sure you subscribe to be a part of all those fall reports and read about your favorite program and some of your rival programs as well. Get some of the inside scoop on what's happening across the road against, you know, whoever your rival is, whether it's in state, whether it's in conference, you'll get some inside scoop on that as well.
Yeah. Go to d1softball.com, go to our Twitter at d1softball, Facebook, Instagram, and then subscribe. I mean, I'm telling you, you want to do it now. You want to get this stuff. It's good. I mean, if you're a softball fan, you're going to need some of this information.
All right. Perfect. So reset it, subscribe, like, leave us a comment on our Facebook page, on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating. Always appreciate those 5-star ratings. So with that said, that was episode 5. Ree, thanks for joining. Any final thoughts, closing thoughts?
No, the same as always. Let's wear a mask and social distance. I'm so ready to go back to precedented. I'm sick of unprecedented times. I want precedented, and to do that, we need to be safe. So stay safe, wear a mask. I think as Cammie said, if they can do it playing softball, you can surely do it in the grocery store. So let's go with Cammie's advice. Like, wear your mask to the grocery store, folks.
All right, that's it. Wear your mask, social distance, and we will see you next week. Thanks so much.